Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling.
Welcome aboard to the show. It's Jive Up Horowitz with you. And well. And you'd be surprised at what the lovely Federal Reserve minutes were like. I wouldn't think so. I mean, of course, they don't know what the hell they're doing anyway. So it's the on-again, off-again rate hike that is off-again and then on-again. And then I don't know what again, but it's beginning to be totally ridiculous. It's beginning to be a sign, which I've said it the entire time, that they have no clue as to what they're doing. Okay? There's no issue. They have no idea. Okay? This is becoming the biggest soap opera, the biggest drama in the history is what the Fed's going to do. Who gives a crap what the Fed's going to do? Tell them to get off their ass and raise the rates. Because the only way that we're going to be able to move to the next level and actually have a true recovery here is to have rates raised. Because if the banks aren't going to lend money at these rates, which they're not, and I can't say that I blame them, but I don't think that the Federal Reserve understands anything about an economy or anything about business. Because I got to tell you something, we got troubles. We got troubles right here in River City, right? The Music Man. Because at the end of the day, insurance companies have no place to put their money either. So we worry about the elderly, which we do, because they like to, they're savers and they want to put their money in the bank because they like to live past 65. Okay, and past 70 and past 75 and 80. But yet, you know, our insurance premiums will start to rise because the insurance companies will not be making enough money off of the money that you pay in premium. I mean, that is the model in which they work on. They lend money out, they invest, but they cannot be forced to invest everything into the stock market, because if they do, they'll be in the crapper. Okay, so at the end of the day, we need the rates to go higher. We need whatever happens to the stock market, so be it. Again, the stock market has collapsed before. It will not be a major tragedy. If you're hedged or if you've been listening, then you know that you should not be fully invested there anyways. So again, the markets are being held up by greed. Okay, plain and simple, there is no fundamental reason. I don't care what any of these economists or money managers say, because economists have no clue. They freely admit that they can't figure it out until after it's over. And money managers have an axe to grind. They've got a position that they want to talk up or they want to raise money. So I have no problem. But at the end of the day, what we have is a failure to communicate. We have a failure in the system to allow free markets to trade. And until we let these free markets trade, we're going to be on edge every time Janet Yellen burps, farts, or whatever. We're going to be worried about what's going to happen. And that shouldn't be the case. The bond market, the interest rates have been falling for 30 years. They're now at zero. They can't fall any farther. Now, I know that they're not going to do that because they just don't have the guts and they don't have the courage. And I don't think they understand the whole model of free markets and price discovery. It's apparent that we can't get past this, you know, almost zero talk of negative. We've already seen this model fail in Japan for 25 years or almost 30 years now. Okay. I mean, it's failing everywhere. Why do we think, you know, Albert Einstein, what do you say? You keep doing the same thing over and over, hoping for a different result. That's insanity. This is insanity already. Okay. Now, somebody's got to step up and take the lead here. But of course, you know, you've got, you know, too many people that are involved. And of course, if you have, you know, the Goldman Sachs of the world and the JP Morgan's of the world involved in the Fed, I mean, why, you know, what do they care? They're just glomming onto all this extra cash that they're able to make out of this because they're doing other things with it. It's just, it's coming to a point where it's very sad and very upsetting that we can't get somebody in charge that can make a decision that means something, okay? To stay with the status quo where, yeah, we're creating jobs, but those $8 an hour jobs are cranking out. Of course, if you look at, if you read the news, Wendy's is putting in 6,000 kiosk robots. There's lawyers already hiring artificial intelligence lawyers. You know, where do we think this is all going to lead? It's already tough enough because, you know, obviously the country's in a technical revolution. So a lot of us that don't have the skills for tech are kind of left out. But we could have had a very smooth transition had somebody been in charge, used their head. Okay. Of course, you know, you're also battling Mr. Obama and his destruction of the coal industry. Now, you could have slowed, you didn't have to end that in 5 minutes either. You could have built that out slowly, okay, and said, okay, we're going to start to wind this down and let the guys that were older and the gals that were older that were working in those in resources and in those indices wind themselves out and find something else or get reeducated while they were still working. But no, we had to put them out of business and create another big problem. So when you look at the overall situation of what's being created here, you're creating combustible. It's going to blow up. It cannot, the model that's being created cannot succeed. Okay. Now, I know all of you have made all that money in the markets and saying, well, I'm nuts. Well, I could be. But at the end of the day, the markets cannot function when you continue to have the invisible hand or the invisible put of the Federal Reserve behind it. Okay. At some point, markets and asset prices have to learn to price themselves, which is what we need. And the same thing with interest rates, because certainly we know that the lending market is very hot right now throughout all these private places, you know, Cabbage and I can't remember all the names of them. But why are they so hot? Because you can't get money from the bank. So you have to have this happening. And that's where all these other offshoot businesses have opened up because of this. And that's where we end up getting some predatory lending because they know you can't get money somewhere else, so they raise the rates even higher. Where there is a true free market interest rate price that's fair for everybody as well. And so the whole model is spelling disaster. Okay? Now, you know, we're ignoring it as usual. I mean, you know, nobody cares that the retail industry is collapsing. I mean, why would we care? Okay? And that becomes the overall bigger problem. Okay? Is why would we care? But of course we do care because at the end of it, okay, it's a problem that ends up creating a bigger problem. And when you allow these problems to exist, you end up with a mess. And that becomes the biggest problem of all. In the meantime, make sure you check out my friends at Thinkorswim and their swim lessons every day. They got swim, they got technically speaking, they got plunging. But tomorrow, they've got, is there an optimal time to hedge your portfolio? So Thinkorswim, built by traders for traders. Again, I urge you to check them out every day. They run a great setup and a great program, and they've got swim lessons from 10:30 a.m. to 12 Central Time. Technically speaking, from 12 to 12:30, and the weekly plunge from 12:30 to 1:30. Okay, check them out. Also, you missed this episode of The Bubba Show, go to libertytalk.fm. And you can download the podcast every day. And, of course, I encourage you to do so, of course. Make sure you go check out BubbaTrading.com. Again, I do a lot of good writing. I'm on the attack, either bitching or attacking. But go check it out, BubbaTrading.com. We're going to step out of here for a break, and we'll be right back after the break. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz, and we'll be right back. The Bubba Show. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz with you. And you know, I often like to share interviews I do. And on Tuesday, I was on with Chip Flurry, Market Rally Radio, and we were talking about risk and risk management and emotions and market expectations. I want to share that interview with you right now. So let's go back a couple of days and go. Let's go hear what I had to say with my man, Chip Flurry from Market Rally Radio. Here we go.
Bubba, you know what? We're also broadcasting live on My Farm TV for the first time. The only way that that could be better is if we had your ugly mug here, too.
I would have come if I would have known. What the hell's going on here? Come on. The doctor is in. Let's go.
All right, man. How you doing?
I'm doing great. It's great to be here. It's great to really talk and really have some time and you know, go over some of the things that go on in life, because you know, today's markets are interesting and you look at them one way and I look at them another, and that's really great. I mean, it's fun and it's really important for me to get the message out to all the farmers and producers, because we all have the same challenges and the same problems. If you're involved in some sort of trading or gambling or whatever it is, the emotions always swing, and typically emotional decisions are always wrong.
Right. Yep, no doubt about it. Now, we want everybody to be part of the conversation today, so give us a call. It's 855-4-TALK-AG, 855-482-5524. You can also tweet at us with the hashtag MRRChip, and hopefully I'll spot it before we let Bubba go today. Okay, Bubba, when we talked about you coming back on the show again, you suggested that we talk about market psychology and what it really means and how farmers should be paying attention to the psychology of the market at any given time when they're making their risk management decisions. Now, why did you suggest that? I mean, you know what? Before we even go there, let's start with this. Let's start with a definition. What exactly are you talking about when you say market psychology?
You know, markets do what they're going to do. And markets have a lot of action. But if we go back to basics, markets are driven by two emotions. They're driven by fear and greed. Okay. Mm-hmm. We can talk the supply-demand curve all we want. We can talk everything else that goes on. But big moves in markets are drawn or moved by an emotion of fear when we start going down. We saw that a couple of weeks ago in the cash cattle markets as well as the futures. The markets were getting hammered, and if you went out in the streets, cash markets were in the toilet. They couldn't sell them fast enough. Okay, then when we get to the point, like we go back to last year when we were over 240 in feeders, they couldn't buy them fast enough because the greed took over. So what happens is the emotions that people feel when they're getting involved and there's money involved, there's a decision to be involved, they have these two major emotions that drive markets for no particular reason. And if you take a market itself from a technical basis and you look at it from, if you break the market down into a phase, like I break the market into three basic phases when I look at it. So there's the phase of a consolidating phase where the markets are doing nothing, where the bulls and the bears are just kind of battling it out, and the market goes down and the bulls walk in and they bring new money in, they push the market back up, and then they get to a certain level and then the bears come in and they push it back down, and you get that real tight range-bound market.
Range-bound trade,
which we had for months in the grains. They were stuck in a range. Then you will get the basic breakout to the trend. So the markets will break out up or down, and that breakout will take the markets in a direction. But then all of a sudden, something will happen, and if we're trending higher, we will all of a sudden, either a news item will hit, something will squeeze the market, and the buyers will come flooding in, and they will buy irregardless of price or time. They're just buying, and you see these straight-up moves like we've kind of seen in the soybeans, especially on the day of the report. That is what I look at as a blow-off, and that is the final phase of most markets. But those are all, again, driven by emotion. But the big, large moves, the big tops are built by greed. The big bottoms are built by fear. And if you understand that and you learn to stay away from those emotional decisions, because as we all know, if you've ever had a fight with your spouse or a friend, when you're in an emotional state, you make a statement usually that you wish you could take back.
Right. Right. Okay, so let's talk about this and some of the things that you can use to identify the psychology of the market, whether it's too revved up to the upside, too downtrodden to the downside, whatever. But last week on your market hit on Wednesday, Bubba, you used the word parabolic in describing what was going on in the soybean market. And what the, you know, I like to think of it as a hockey stick. You know how a hockey stick is shaped. When you're slowly climbing and then all of a sudden, boom, off she goes to the upside, that's a parabolic move in the markets. When you see that in soybeans, and then here over the last couple of days, we've kind of sat back, tested that support at last week's high at 1057 in the July contract, tested it again yesterday, and then we get a move to the upside. I mean, what's the emotion of this market right now?
Well, the emotion right now, I believe you're looking at, there's still some shorts that are in the market. There are still some people that are getting stuck in the market. I think that you've got some fear. Believe it or not, I think a lot of this is being driven by outside factors. The dollar was not very weak today, but I think that the dollar and what's going on in the general economy is having a force in the agricultural space right now in the grains, because I think what you're seeing is if the Fed does not raise rates, then you're going to see a weaker dollar. And that, okay, I think, is doing some of the driving here. But I believe looking at these charts, looking at these patterns right now, you are seeing more of an emotion of people who are getting caught short, I believe. I think there's still some shorts trying to get in this market. And I think we saw a bunch come in and sell in to that parabolic move. They got a little bit of a dip, and now we're getting a straight-up rally again from here. So this is something you have to watch. So you have to, if we can break out above the top here, this could be a breakout to the trend, because if you look at the last 5 days, you've got a market that's really in consolidation again. So when we have these positions or these times when markets get too crazy or too parabolic, they can resolve themselves in two ways. One is to go the other way quickly, or the other is to go sideways, which we've done. So as we look here, this is either going to be short carving and I'm going to be right, or this is going to be a consolidation move that's going to break out to the upside and create a new uptrend, because 5 full days is enough to create a consolidating move. So we've got the traders and the people have now got a cooler heads, and you're seeing natural trading. And this is the natural world of trading now. The markets are in consolidation. If we break to the upside, we could see a new trend, and we could see this trend continue higher. I don't think that's part of it, but we've got to get out over 1091.50. And then we can see maybe a continuation of a new uptrend and a new market rally. And then when we get that parabolic move, when the greed shows up, then that's a time to look at it and say, hey, we've probably gone far enough.
Okay, Bubba, if we would flip that soybean chart upside down and people were stepping in and buying that, we'd say that they were trying to catch a falling knife in that market. But when it's on top like this and they're stepping in and selling it and trying to pick a top, isn't that kind of dangerous? I mean, guys have given up years worth of equity trying to do stuff like that in a commodity market.
Picking tops and bottoms is an impossibility. This is where you have to sit back, and this is where the cooler head has to prevail. You have to sit back and watch this action. Now, if you're going to say, I'm going to sell this market here because it looks like a top, certainly if you could do that and be disciplined enough and use your mind enough to say, hey, okay, I'm willing to take a small amount of risk here because this looks like a top, I could do that. But if you're going to sit there and always try to pick tops and bottoms, you're never going to make money. And if you continue to try to overtrade the market without real information, and real information is not news. That's another problem, Chip. The news is the news. Now, most of the time, you know I believe this. You know, I've talked about this.
Yep.
I believe that the news is priced in the market before it gets there. I have not seen any major, major surprise in years. Why? Because every farmer, every producer, every person in the world is now carrying a more powerful computer that launched NASA back in the 60s. Because you can look at it, so the information flows so fast today that there isn't anything new in the market that we can find out. Usually, the only thing that remains the same, that has remained the same since the Stone Age, is the emotions that humans feel. So what's going to happen here, if we see a lot of people trying to pick the top here, and this is truly going to be a breakout, then what you're going to have is you're going to have a greed-driven rally followed by a blow-off, followed by a shorts covering where they're going to squeeze the stuffing out of the shorts again, and you're going to hear them squeal like the hogs.
This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Chip Flory from Market Rally Radio, and we're going to step out here for a break, but make sure that when you miss an episode, LibertyTalk.fm gets you the Daily Bubba Show, as well as the Sporting Edge every Saturday. And make sure that you check out BubbaTrading.com. A lot of new programs, a lot of things happening. And, of course,
My goal is to help you become a better trader, investor, and help you take care of your money. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. And, of course, make sure you follow me on Twitter at Bubba Average Joe, as well as like my Facebook, The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, The Bubba Show. We'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show.
In other words,
trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And, of course, I'm talking with my guy, my man, Chip Fleury. And he's about to give me a little pushback on the opinions that I express. And I think you'll enjoy the response. And I think you'll enjoy, I hope you're enjoying the interview. But listen to Chip. You're going to step up and push back right when we come from this spot. So let's get back to my man, Chip Fleury, right now.
Yeah. Bubba, I'm going to push back just a little bit. If all the news is already known, then how can the market go limit up on a day that we get a 305 million bushel new crop bean carryover projection from USDA?
I love when you push back, because that is where people who looked at the market and people said, okay, I'm going to go ahead and short this market because I believe that I know the news and I believe that it's priced in. And that's one thing we have to remember. Things that do get priced in a lot. They caught him short. And the reason, you don't get limit moves on markets that are just going straight up. You get limit moves on short cover.
Okay. All right. We're going to come back and continue this conversation with Bubba Horowitz. We're going to have to come up with a drinking game on this show for La Nina.
I'll tell you. I better get down there right now.
Okay, Bubba. Ooh, there it is. Hey, Bubba, when you hear, you know, coming off of the weekend with the freezing temperatures, and you hear guys talking about frost damage to the corn. They're showing pictures of young corn that has been frosted off. And then you hear a question like that come in from the countryside. The Chicago day trader, the Chicago speculator, well, I shouldn't just say Chicago, it's anywhere. What kind of thoughts do those conjure up in your head when you hear reports like that?
Well, you know, it makes you think that you might get some type of movement. But again, a lot has changed over the years, Chip. And one of the biggest things that's changed is there's more time to trade. Now, we don't trade 24 hours a day. You know, we've cut back some of the hours. But there's more opportunities to trade in and out. And so the direct effect of news does not have the time to build up that great explosion. But usually, you know, the old story was if it rained on LaSalle Street, you know, grains would be going higher. So it was just a natural thing. But it does create an ability to think, well, maybe there's going to be some sort of shortage. Maybe we're going to have to see higher prices. So maybe we'll step in and buy. But you don't get that much action off of that anymore because markets have more time to resolve any of those types of situations. So the actual traders or speculators, they're watching and they're more trying to react to what the conditions are once they happen. So you see much more of a trader and a speculator will look at the market and try to react to that market and either chase momentum in either direction or look to, or pick their spots.
Okay, now there you go. That brings up another point. I've always wondered, is a speculator a reactive trader or a predictive trader?
There's a lot of both. Most the ones that are both okay. Busted, the ones that are busted are usually the ones that are trying to pick it and trying to figure it out, because they end up usually going broke unless they get lucky. But overall, your job is to try to react to the market conditions and find good spots, good solid levels, not based on what's actually going out in the fields, but really what's based on what's going on in the price pattern, because price is king, and that will drive most markets. You guys mentioned it all the time on air. It's a technical trade. It's a technical trade. The technical trade is simple. If you find a market that is really bullish and really strong, and you come down to a double bottom, that's usually a great opportunity to step in and buy. You know, you've heard me now. We've been doing this together for a couple of years. And I'll make a lot of calls. People go, what are you, nuts? And I go, hey, look, that's what the chart says. I can't tell you that I'm right or wrong, but I can say that is how I will trade, based on an emotionless, not thinking about it, not trying to pick what's going to happen in the weather or anything else, but exactly what the chart is showing me. And when the chart shows me something, I'm willing to step in and make that trade, because that's what the market, that's what the money is telling me. That's what the emotions of the people that are trading it are telling me. It's probably a pretty good opportunity. And that's what you have to more focus on, is not to try to get excited and worry about the news you heard, but actually react to price, because that's where you get into trouble. And that's where the average farmer producer gets into trouble, because, you know, one thing we know for sure, farmers and producers are naturally bulls to begin with, because they have to, because they're spending all that time and money to put that crop in the ground.
Okay. Now, let's talk directly to the farmers here for a little bit, Bubba. How do they use market psychology when they're trying to manage their risk? I mean, you know, when soybeans gain more than $2 at a time of the year when nobody expected them to, and all of a sudden you're faced with this opportunity that you didn't have 6 weeks ago where you can turn it into some money, how do you use market psychology in trying to pick points when you should get more aggressive with your downside price protection?
Well, I use various methods, but the key method here, and one of the things we always want to make sure everybody understands, is you're worried about the basis. You're worried about the cost. So if you can lock in right now, for example, if you can lock Novi beans in at 10.50 or 10.60 right now, and know that that's the worst you're going to do without giving up the upside potential. And this is the important part that everybody's got to understand. There's ways to do it without giving up upside potential. You don't have to just sell them. You know, the old days, it was registered, well, I want to just get that price, I'm going to go out and sell them in the futures market, and I'm going to be done. Now, you can actually lock in a higher basis and still participate if the markets go higher. What you have to do as a farmer and a producer is you got to look at your cost. You have to look at where you are, where you stand. And as you start to make profit, you have to start to lock in that higher basis so that you know at the end of the year, no matter what happens, okay, that you have X amount of dollars locked in and you've paid for that crop. You've paid your expenses. You've paid yourself. You've now got money. And basically, you're what we call free rolling against the casino, because now you're in. You've got that money locked up. You know where you're out at. You know you got it out at, let's say, 1060. I'm out at 1060. But guess what? If it goes to 12, I can still play. And then I move my basis higher. But what you can't do is you can't.
Oh, hey, Bubba. Yeah. Bubba, hold on. Okay, now we're talking about you're going to move your basis higher. When we talk about basis, we're talking about the difference between the cash price and the futures price, and there's no way to lock in basis using the futures market. You got to use it on the you got to use the cash market. What are you referring to when you say basis?
I'm referring to the futures price. I'm referring to the price that you can sell right now. Like right now, I'm locked in at 1040 in Novi. Okay, my basis in Novi is 1040, and I'm getting 1040. If they go to $8, I'm getting 1040, and that's my basis. So what I look for is I want to roll my basis up, basis on against the future, because I can always go to the cash market. Because the one thing about what I'm going to do is I'm not locking you in. I'm not going to create a short position later if you happen to run out or if you don't have enough to deliver because you've oversold into the markets.
All right, I got you. Yeah, doggone it, Bubba, we're getting short on time here, but I do want to talk about market expectations here real quick. When we went into the May 10 supply and demand report, we all know what the market expectations were there. Didn't quite match up. The USDA numbers didn't quite match up with what the expectations were. You know, I mean, how do you manage market expectations in an environment like this?
Well, I mean, this is actually an environment, and this is where you have to take what you think, this is what the price action is telling you. What it told me is that we were looking for a slight move higher, because no matter what the numbers were, the markets were compressed to a point that you would see that move from that point and a little bit higher. This goes back, you know, if you go back to the April report as well, I mean, I was actually personally working orders to buy new contract lows. Why? Because the markets were pricing in. The markets are very informative. The difference is the farmer and the producer has to look at it and have a calmer being about themselves and not get involved with the day-to-day, this is happening, that's happening. No, you look at it and you say, okay, here's what the market is showing me, and this is what's going on around me. Here's where I want to be ready to act and react to what goes on to the market. I don't want to get trapped in and caught with the people that are either panicking and buying them to the upside or puking them out to the downside. Because as you know, I wrote, panic or puke, you lose, right?
Yep.
So now you have to sit back and observe the market and make a decision based on, again, money. Everything we do, farming, is done for money, right? We do it to make money.
Right.
So we have to focus on the money. The money comes into the markets, and the money shows you a footprint. If you're willing to follow that footprint and believe in it and leave your opinion out of it, because that's really the biggest, the hardest challenge for everybody, your opinion is really not very good. And not anybody's. I'm not talking about anybody in particular.
Yeah.
Me and everybody. But you leave that opinion out, and you focus on the money flow into the market, and that will give you the best idea of what's going to happen. Now let's switch over from Market Rally Radio to RFD Radio, an interview I did on Wednesday with Marlon Bowling. Let's go to Marlon right now.
Horowitz, he is with BubbaTrading.com in Chicago. Todd, it's a pleasure to have you back with us once again today. A little weaker trade in the needs here this morning on the overnight trade. What's up?
Marlon, great to be here. And, you know, I mean, we had actually a pretty dramatic move in soybeans overnight. They were much higher, and now they're much lower. So, interesting. I think that, we've seen the last couple of days has been more of a dollar trade and some other outside factors versus an actual trade basis on what's going on in the actual markets. I think you've seen a lot of scuttlebutt about whether or not the Fed is going to raise rates, which will have a dramatic effect on the dollar. And, of course, the Fed did act. Well, it didn't act. Its minutes came out yesterday, and they had some action adverse to the dollar, and it could create some action in the grains. But we're going to have to step out here for a break. We'll come back with more from Marlon and more of my commentary. After the break, this is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwich. You missed an episode, LibertyTalk.fm. Get your download. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwich. We'll be right back.
Orchestrated by...
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz, and we are listening to my interview with Marlon Bowling from RFD Radio from yesterday. But the Fed did come out with some notes that were a little bit disturbing to markets, and we'll see the action. But let's get back to Marlon right now. And if they raise, the dollar's going to get much stronger, which would not be great for the commodity space in general. And I think that was what you were really seeing. There was that waffling back and forth. And of course, today at 2:00 Eastern, the FOMC minutes come out, and maybe we'll get a better feel for how the members actually voted last time. But you're getting, once again, you're having involvement from the Federal Reserve that really shouldn't be involved in the market, but it is, and that's just part of the new style of trading.
So what else is going to be tugging on the markets here this week? I know we'll talk later about the cattle on feed report coming out on Friday, but is there anything that's going to be affecting the grain traders' attention other than what's going on in those outside markets like that?
Well, I think that you've really seen, Marlon, in especially in soybeans, I think we've seen much too fast of an up move. You know, markets typically do not run up as fast as soybeans have run up, and I think you're going to see probably a little bit of selling pressure anyways. I mean, I felt even before this gyration from the outside markets that soybeans, although I like grains in general, and I'm a buyer at lower prices. I felt that there's going to be some selling pressure coming in here, and I didn't think that they were going to be able to take out the high they made last week of 1091 in the July. So I think we're going to see probably some pressure, which would actually be, I know farmers and producers hate when I say this, but it's probably healthier for the market to get a little selling pressure here. I think that builds a stronger base, and it'll make my case for a much stronger season. So I think you're going to see some selling start to step up here. Some guys might start to take some profit. Of course, we should see some selling, and hopefully the farmers and producers have been emptying out their bins of what they've had in storage for a while, because this is, you know, what we've been waiting for all along. But I think corn is probably will weaken a little bit. Wheat is kind of the stepchild by itself. You know, it's been really just range bound, you know, 455, 460 to 490, 495. And I think that will continue. And I do think that, you know, technically there should be some selling in here anyways, besides the outside influences.
So what do you recommend to the wheat farmers out there that are looking at this new crop coming up? And actually, it seems to look pretty good at the present time as far as crop condition. They should be looking at pretty decent yields, fair amount of wheat to sell this year, but it just seems like they don't have much of a marketing opportunity. How do you handle that?
Well, I think you'll start to see the opportunity show. You know, we've had, you know, wheat has really been kind of on a world to its own for the last, I don't know, about 18 months. And it's really been, you know, it was affected first by what was going on in Russia, and then it was affected by some of the other factors. But we're seeing, I mean, I believe that the lows are in wheat for quite a while. I don't think we're going to see, you know, back down to those contract lows again. I think we're going to start to go higher. And I think what you'll see here is we will gyrate a little bit more between this 455, 460, and 490 level. But again, ultimately, I think we break out to the top and we start to make a much bigger move to the upside, which is what I believe in the overall grain space altogether. But again, wheat has kind of done its work from a technical standpoint, and I think this is always the start before you get the next move up. I think that this is the kind of work you look for charts to do, and I think we'll see that, and I think we will see it break out to the upside. And also, if we get some of the selling, I think we're going to see, I think that will help wheat itself as well. If we get some selling in the beans and some other where, I think there'll be some buyers stepping into the wheat markets.
All right, well, Todd, we're going to pause for a break, and I'll bring you Bubba Horowitz. He is with BubbaTrading.com in Chicago. In the overall markets, if you look at the global markets, are the indications of possible demand for U.S. grain products starting to look a little better these days now that the South American harvest should be getting in its final stages here?
I think it should create a little bit more demand, but yeah, Marlon, I'm a big fan and a big believer that the markets are well ahead of the news they actually hear. You know, there's so much information travels so quickly today that I think you can watch the price action in the markets, and that'll tell you what's really going on. And we have seen a little bit more of demand, but again, I think it's going to come back to price and the dollar and the other things that were really, because we've become to a point where the outside factors have a much bigger effect today than they used to.
How are the premiums on options these days? I'm sure the premium has had to have increased.
You know, they're not bad, but, you know, we've had markets, and this is one of the issues that, you know, when they start to move and they move in a quick range, they start to take out volatility. Volatility always comes in to markets when markets are going lower. So as markets start to rise, volatility starts to fall because we get back into the complacency issue with most traders or most farmers. You know, we all get, you know, lulled to sleep when markets are going higher because that's the direction that we're looking for them to go. And we tend to become more complacent. In fact, sometimes we get a little bit too greedy when markets rally. And of course, that takes out the volatility because there's no reason to believe they can go down. Volatility almost always comes in on the downside of any market.
So now we saw soybeans coming back recently, and yet, you know, they're talking about, well, pretty decent planting acreage this year. They're talking about maybe 700,000 acres more than had been earlier expected by USDA. However, we're still talking about maybe more rain moving into the Midwest over the 6 to 10 day outlook over there. So which is going to win out, the higher acres or the better growing conditions?
You know, I think it's a coin flip. I mean, you know, but I think what you're seeing is the one thing for sure is price always determines exactly what everybody's thinking. And as we've seen, you know, recently until this morning, as prices have been trying to move higher. So they're telling you that there's going to be, you know, everything's going to be A-OK. But again, I think that that's probably going to see a little bit of pressure coming in here. But again, I do look for higher prices later. But I think, as I've said, much healthier for the market to see a little bit of a sell-off here to take off some of that edge and actually create a better buying market later down the road.
Do you consider soybeans to be in overbought territory, or was that correction we had the last few days enough to, you know, take a little of that steam off of there?
I think that soybeans probably have a fairly good move to the downside coming in here. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to see back near 10 before we get some of the buyers to step back in. But again, that would be healthy, and if the guys have taken care of and emptied out, you know, some of the storage and are now hedging their longer term, it won't really have that much of a major effect on the actual farmers and producers as long as they're taking care of their marketing plan and taking care of business.
All right. What about the cattle index over here, or the cattle prices? We had the feeders actually taking charge yesterday, going up over a dollar. In most contracts, the live cattle were higher too, but not that much. What do you make of this?
Well, I think that you're seeing very interesting action in the feeders first. I mean, we thought that, you know, 140 was in play a couple of weeks ago. We actually got down to the 138.90 level. And then I thought we'd get back up to over 150. And now we're really stuck in a 145 to 150 range. Again, I like them. I think they're going to go higher. But they've got some work to do technically in this range. And I think you'll see, you know, 150, 151, 151 or 152 is an upside range here. And 145 is a bottom. And then I think at some point here, after they consolidate a little bit, I think we'll be back into wanting to buy. And I think they will work their way higher. And again, I like the feeders. I like the live cattle. And live cattle is a little trickier here. 122 wasn't pretty important. I think we're going to probably check that 122 on the way back down. And then we'll see how it acts at 122. I wouldn't be surprised if 118 trades before we actually get to move higher. But again, I like them as well. I basically like all the ag space. The only thing I'm concerned about is the hog market stuck in this range 80 to 84. And now that we've tried once again to get through 84, I think we're heading back down to 80. And then I want to see how the action appears at 80.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Todd, if somebody wants to find your website, how do they find that?
BubbaTrading.com. Check it out. We do a lot of webinars for farmers and producers. We're always out trying to help and make sure that you understand the market's better, because we know you understand what's going on your fields, but we want to make sure we get the markets taken care of.
Awesome. Good to visit with you, Todd. Thanks a bunch. Todd Bubba Horowitz with BubbaTrading.com. Check it out.
And there was a full show. And, of course, again, the markets are reacting to the Fed. Let's see the longer-term effects and see what really goes on here. But it should have some pressure. The dollar should increase, and it should be pressure on the commodities, which we started to see. So let's see how it plays out. In the meantime, this has been the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. And, of course, anytime you miss a show, you have to go to libertytalk.fm, and you can download the podcast of the Bubba Show every day and of the Sporting Edge on Saturdays. And check out bubbatrading.com to see what we're doing. Got a lot of great programs. And for that, that'll do it for today. This has been the Bubba Show. We, as always, thank you so much for being a part of the show. We enjoy presenting to you, and we will see you back here tomorrow, same time, same station, The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.